dear Jesus, Lord, as we come to you this morning, I pray that we would take joy in that. That nothing compares to you. And Lord, when we see all this in our life that competes for our time, energy, devotion, our love, I pray that we would get to know you in such a way that we'd understand nothing compares. And God, I pray that our hearts would be open to you, our ears would be in tune to your Spirit. That Lord, as you speak to us today, that we would be responsive through our hearts, our lives, our actions. May we worship you by hearing the word that you would have for us today. And we give you all the thanks and all the praise, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated and our kids are dismissed for Kids Connect for grades 1 through 4, if you'll meet Miss Andrea right up front as they head back for their time of Kids Connect. And let's take our Bibles this morning to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 5. Here we are. We have finished the book of Colossians, right? And so it's kind of, where do we go next? Well, this morning, we're going to go to Jesus. And we're going to take some time just to look at this passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 5, a beautiful story, narrative for us. And this morning, I've entitled it the Swine Song. As we see, this story is famous for the demons being cast into the swine and them running off a cliff. And we're going to see how all this works out. But the swine song, and what does this miracle, and what do we see here in Jesus' life, what does it teach us? You know, music is very emotional to us, and we get attached to music in different songs. And you know those songs in your life that when you hear it, that it just immediately takes you to a right place. And a song that as soon as you hear it begin and you hear those opening notes, that you immediately just are taken to a different place in a different time. And it's in those opportunities that you see how the whole song just works together. You know, from the beginning, the verse and how it just plays out, the beautiful melody and how it works, and all of it's just working together. And then there's the different aspects of the song, the bridge, the key changes, those little hooks that happen, the chorus, and it builds to that resolution. And one of those songs that you know that you like to hit repeat on and you can listen to over and over again. And you just know that it speaks to you. And as we look at this passage this morning, I want us to see this story as an opportunity for the Lord to speak to us about what we see in this story here in Mark chapter 5. And let's begin reading here in the text in Mark chapter 5 in verse 1. It says, "They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me.' For he was saying to him, 'Come out of the man, you unclean spirit.' And Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' He replied, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, 'Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them.' So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. the herdsmen. They fled and they told it in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and he began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Here, as we see this story this morning, I want you first to recognize the beautiful melody. I want you to see what is the sense of the story and what we're seeing about Jesus and seeing where this story is going. Mark is a gospel that's a lot shorter than in some of the other gospels, and he had a way of condensing some of the different stories sometimes, and you find sometimes some longer narratives on these things in these other synoptic gospels, and you find them in other places that are a little bit more elaborated on. But this story here in Mark seems to be a little bit longer for Mark. And we see some more of the details placed in here in Mark in this area. And we see a beautiful story that shows us about the power of Jesus Christ. You see, this melody that we are looking at this morning is that Jesus has the power to transform. Here's the power. Now Jesus, as we start back in verse 1, he's coming to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gerasenes. And if you see this in the other Gospels, there's some different terms here, the Gadarenes, and some different places. We know this is on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. This was a Gentile area. It was filled for those that were foreign to Jews. And here he has come to this east side, he's come to this area. And as he has come, immediately when he gets out of the boat, what do we see happen? A man coming out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. He was wrapped up in so possessed by these demons and this foreign takeover through this spiritual possession of his life of those demons that he was driven mad, driven crazy. He was living in the tombs there on the outside of town. They had tried to bind him. They had tried to put shackles on him. Those did not work by the strength that was there. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to really connect sometimes with these types of stories until you hear of true demon possessions that have happened. If you talk to some missionaries and those that have been overseas and here in some of the different aspects of seeing some of the demon possessions, you realize that there is a real spiritual battle that happens. That there is this possession that takes place, and there is a spiritual power that is out there. And here we see this man in this completely insane. Some have tried to make it down to, well, you know, it was a mental thing and a psychiatric thing. Well, I don't believe the scripture gives us this kind of description for it to be that. You see the power that's happening. You see what's going on in his life, and that he's breaking the chains. He can't be bound. He's hurting himself. These were all signs to the people that this man was mad that he was gone wild. And here he is out living amongst the tombs. Living amongst the graves. And as we see here, Jesus is stepping off the boat and immediately he comes to him. And we see this story take that turn to show us what Jesus can do. He has the power to transform. Now, what's interesting is you break it down, as you look down here, look at what's happening as he comes up. In verse 6, "And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran, he fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. And why is he saying this? Notice because of verse 8. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Jesus was already in the work of seeing this man transformed before he had even asked for it. He was already seeing, working towards this man and trying to see him before he even began to ask Jesus for this power, for this transformation. Listen, the power of Jesus Christ to save is there, and it's powerful for our lives before we even realize it. That there is a gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that power is the power to redeem. He was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Here we see the spirits calling upon the Jesus by this name. The Most High God, in a sense, and how what they're trying to do is they're trying to gain a step on Jesus here by throwing out this name. They're trying to throw some authority over him by calling out his name, and they're trying to overtake the power of what Jesus is wanting to do. But yet, Jesus says, what is your name? I think it's interesting that even these demons and these ones that had possessed this man knew who Jesus was. They ran down, they fell down, they worshipped him. And what did they ask? Don't torment us. It reminds me of that verse there in James chapter 2 where it tells that even the demons know God and they tremble. Even the demons believe that there is a God and they tremble. Sometimes they have more an emotional response to God than we do. And here they are, they're coming, don't torment me. Don't torment me. And he asked them, what is your name? And the reply, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now think about how that name would be vivid. Legion. And this area was Roman occupied. They hear the sense of a legion. They know what a legion is. A legion could be anywhere up to 6,000, 4,000 to 6,000 soldiers. This name Legion means that there's an occupation. There is some outside source. It's overpowering. It's overtaking. And here we see this pictured with this demon possession. And then notice verse 10. And he begged him earnestly, not to send him out of the country. Don't send us away. But there's a great herd of pigs over here on the hillside. Here we see Jesus coming to this man, and this man is overtaken by powers that he cannot seemingly control. You know what? We too, at times, can seem to be overtaken by powers that we cannot control. Such we know them as our lusts. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Pride. The pride of life that overtakes us and overpowers us. Our different appetites, and we see these different sins, these different things that seem to come into our life and seem to overpower us. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus stands ready. Come out. He stands ready to forgive you that transforming power to say, I can save. And we see this beautiful melody throughout this passage this morning that Jesus can transform. And we see him cast these demons out of this man, give them to the pigs. The pigs then run and jump into the sea. But then there seems to be a key change. You know, a key change, when it comes in a song, it sometimes allows us to see how the song is building. And this is a complementative key change. It's an opportunity for us to see a difference, but to see something that is... God is working in this process. Now, Jesus has cast these demons. He's cast them into the pigs. And we see there that over 2,000 of them have rushed over the cliff there into the sea. Now, for the Jewish mindset here, this was not a big deal. They didn't have anything to do with pigs. Pigs were unclean. The swine were unclean to them. They had nothing to do with them. It was nothing for them to see this. But if you think about that foreign mentality and those Gentiles that were there and what they were doing, hey, this was their livestock. This was their herd. This was their livelihood that they were raising here. And now to see these demons cast out of this man, cast into this herd, they take off all 2,000 of them and rush over the side of a cliff. Have any of you seen 2,000 hogs at one time? Yeah, some of you raise your hands. I wonder where you've been. All right? Can you imagine the sight? Here you have these pigs, they're being herded, they're all together, and then as these people are watching and they're seeing, all of a sudden they are filled with these demons, they go crazy, the power is uncontrollable, they rush off the side of the cliff. This is showing us what the demons were trying to do, and that was destroy. They wanted to destroy. They wanted to destroy this man. And they wanted to destroy man. Listen, demons want to destroy because of the image of God that they see in man. They're wanting to destroy that. And there are those pigs. They rush and they fall off into the sea. And so to the Jewish mindset, it's like, all right, there's the victory. But think about the Gentile mindset and they're watching that. There goes my livelihood. There goes my sustenance. There goes my bacon. And they're watching this happen, and notice the key change. Look at verse 14. And the herdsmen fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. So the herdsmen, they see all this that's going on, and they go back, and we don't quite see yet what the herdsmen are saying, but we can get a picture. They have gone back to the city, and what are they telling them? Oh, you got to see Jesus. Look at what he's done, right? I mean, you got to come see this. I mean, he's cast these demons out. They went in these pigs. They went on the side of the cliff. Do you think their emphasis was on Jesus? No. Notice what the rest of it there says in verse 16. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Here's the key change. Now we have the herdsmen. We have those that are watching on. They see all this happening. They see their livelihood go off into the sea. They see all this happening. They've come out now and they see Jesus and they see this man. And this man that was demon-possessed is now sitting there in his right mind. He's clothed. He is sitting there having this conversation with Jesus, and all this is going on. And they look at that, and what do? They see Jesus and they began to beg him to depart. Jesus, go. How sad of a place this is, isn't it? That seeing all this happening and seeing this miracle go, and because it did not go the way they wanted, because they were attached to this livelihood, because they did not understand what Jesus was doing, there was a fear there, and they said, Jesus, we want you to go. We knew this man was possessed by demons. He's not possessed by demons. You cast him. All of a sudden, something is different here. There's a power here, and our livelihood is gone now because of it. Jesus, we want you to go. You know, sometimes we are able to look on these stories and think, you know, I just can't imagine them saying that. But yet sometimes we look at the cross, and it makes us have to look at a sacrifice to our livelihood. It makes us have to make a sacrifice to our time, to our energy. And we look at what Jesus has done for us, and we think about taking up our cross and following him, and we look at that and we say, that's my livelihood. Jesus, you can go. Hey, that's my time. Jesus, you can go. And we do this at different points in our life, and we beg Jesus to depart because we think it is beyond our comprehension. There is a fear there. A fear of the unknown causes a pushback. Oh, but when you get to know Jesus, when you get to know the transforming power, you begin to see how this all comes together. Here are these herdmen, they would rather take the swine over the Savior. They would rather have the livelihood of that instead of the transforming power of the delivery that we see through Jesus Christ. And there was that fear of the unknown. So what do they do? Verse 17, they began to beg Jesus to depart from the region. Notice verse 18, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. Notice what's happening here. Who is begging him to depart? the herdsmen, the countrymen, the people in whose country we see Jesus in here performing these miracles. They're begging him to depart. And what do we see Jesus do? Depart. But wait, in verse 18, there's a righteous man there. There's this man that's been healed now. He wants to go with them. And what do we see him begging him? The man that had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with them. So he's requesting Jesus, hey, listen, you've granted their request. You seem to be departing. Hey, can you grant my request? Let me be with you. Let me go with you. But does he permit that? Verse 19, and he did not permit him. So wait a second here. I don't understand this. Sometimes we think when we're following Jesus that we need everything that we ask of him. But yet Jesus knows something else. Jesus has a key change. Sometimes he has an idea that is something different than what we are expecting and what we are wanting. And there is a key change. But understand, it's a complementative key change. That there is a reason why. And that reason why is because of the dynamic resolution. The dynamic resolution. He began to depart. And you know what? Sometimes when Jesus is unwelcome, he departs. That part of the story just really paused me this week. Sometimes we like to take it on ourselves so much to win people to the Lord, and we take it upon ourselves to see people grow up in Jesus Christ, and we take it upon ourselves so much to see people follow Jesus, and we try to do so much and so much, and when yet there's the pushback and there's those that are pushing away from Jesus and going away, and yet here we see this happening with Jesus. They're begging Jesus to depart, and what does he do? He departs. Be careful of asking Jesus to depart and not be apart. He did not stay where he was welcome. And sometimes we got to understand that the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus Christ through the cross is bigger than what we're thinking about and how we want it to see accomplished. He begins to depart. But we see the dynamic resolution in verse 19. And he did not permit him, but he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. What is the dynamic resolution? It's the plan that we see greater than what we thought at that time. Greater than what this man possessed with the demon thought when he said, Jesus, let me be with you. Which for Mark was a pattern. Words that he used to describe discipleship and following Jesus. He used it in Mark 3:14 that he has called the disciples that they might be with him and they might follow him, that he might send them forth to preach. So the idea of being with him was this process of discipleship, that he wanted to be with them, he wanted to follow him and grow up in him. But yet Jesus had this different idea, and it was, I want you to go home. I want you to go to your friends, and I want you to tell them. Now, I want you to understand the significance here, because who is he talking to? The Gentiles. He's talking to this Gentile man that was possessed. He's looking at those herdsmen and those men that are begging him to depart. And what he's saying is, he's getting out and he says, I want you to go home. I want you to tell them about me. I want you to tell them how we have had mercy upon you. I want you to tell them this story, because there is a plan, and that plan that we see from the very beginning is that God wants to see all come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Jews had this mindset that he was only for him and their nation and their group of people and only for this group. Here we see Jesus, a part of this Gentile mission, tell this man, I want you to go home to your friends. I want you to tell them about what I have done for you. Listen, when we get an understanding of what Jesus Christ has done for us, when we see the transformation that he has for us, let me tell you, we talk about it. We see a difference in our life, and we talk about that there is something different. Hey, listen, that old stuff, that swine, those pigs, you know what? They didn't do it anymore. I got something better in Jesus Christ. He changed my life. And that's why I do this. And that's why I do that. And that's why I'm a part of this. And this is what's happening in my life. And we go home to our friends and we tell them what the Lord has done for us. The dynamic resolution is here. We see the Gentile mission is a part of it. And notice what happens in verse 20. And he went away and he began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And what happened? Everyone marveled. What I love about this verse here in verse 20 is look at that word proclaim. The word proclaim here is also the same word that we see translated for preach. Preach. You know what? Preachers like to see the word preach. We feel empowered. It gives us a license, right? But you know who was called on to preach here? The man that was healed. You know what this shows us? We all can preach Jesus. We all can preach Jesus. He went away and he began to proclaim and he began to tell them his story. Listen, I was possessed by these demons named Legion. I was tormented. I was living in tombs. I was lost. I was on my way to destruction. They wanted to destroy me. Oh, but then this man stepped out of a boat. And I came to him and his name was Jesus. And he said, come out of me. And these spirits were departed and they went into these pigs. They jumped off a cliff. And now here I am. I'm free from the torment. I'm free from the pain. And I have a relationship with a Savior through the man named Jesus. Think about the transformation that we get to show each and every day through a man named Jesus. We have an opportunity to share people the power of the gospel of God to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek, to everyone about that they can know that Jesus Christ changes lives. But that means that we got to look to the cross and not to the swine. And we got to realize that when we look after the swine and we care about the swine, we're going to tell Jesus to depart. Oh, but when we look to the cross, Jesus, I want to be with you. And I'm going to go home. I want to tell my friends. I want to tell them all about it. It's a beautiful thing when we see the transforming power of Jesus Christ and know that, you know what, we can preach Jesus. People are not interested in what you do until they see what changes you and what's made a difference in you. And this morning, if you're going through motions in this Christian walk, if you're just doing these duties, these different things just to accomplish something and check something off, and you're missing a walk with Jesus, you're going to miss the transforming power of the gospel. That's where it starts. In a walk with Jesus. We all can preach Jesus if we stick to that transforming power. This morning, I want to ask you, does your story preach Jesus? Does your life preach that transforming power? That power that can take those things that control us, those lusts, those desires, those sins, those vices, those things that seem to get in our way, that it takes it away and destroys it, where we see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lust thereof. And that happens because of Jesus Christ. Does your story preach Jesus? If not, today's the day. And let's let Jesus preach. Shall we stand? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed as we come to a time of response this morning. I want to ask you to just evaluate your walk with the Lord today. Is there something that's overtaken you? Is there something overpowering you? Today we know that there's transformation in Jesus Christ. We see it in this story. And you can know that beautiful melody of Jesus' transformation. And if you know that this morning, what are you more worried about? More worried about the swine? Are you worried about the Savior? Are you going to beg Jesus to depart? Or are you going to beg Him to be with me? This morning, if you need to know that transformation and that power in your life, the Bible tells us that is by grace through faith that we are saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And today you have the opportunity to place your faith in Jesus Christ alone, who there on that cross and that perfect sinless body died for you. That His blood is so precious that it is able to pay the price for your sins, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you need that transformation today, it comes by having and by coming this morning and saying, Lord, I know I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that You are here in my life. Be my Savior. And this morning could be that moment of transformation for you. Do you need that transformation? Now is the time. In just a moment, we're going to sing and we're going to open up this time of response. The altar up front here is going to be open, and if you need to come and just deal with the Lord, I'm going to be standing right here. And if you need that transforming power, I'd love to meet you. Be able to show you what Jesus Christ can do in your life to take away those chains. If you need a place to come and to be a part of, I'd love to meet you down here this morning. If you need to follow the Lord, we'd love for you to come and learn how good He is and how trustworthy. As we come to this time of response, let's respond to Him this morning. Let's let Him work in our lives and not push Him away.